BBC White Bay. Okay, shopaholics are going to love this now. For the next few minutes, we're talking about shopping. How is it now? How will it be in the future? It's time to have a chat to futurologist Maurice Mislowski from businessfuturist.com. Maurice, good morning.
Good morning, David.
Maurice, good to have you back on air again. Retail, well, in 2012, there's certainly lots of challenges, isn't there, for bricks and mortar stores. How are they responding to the challenges they face?
I think not well enough is the answer. We've gone through turmoil. I mean, we all know that the last 3 or 4 years hasn't been, or hasn't appeared to be, all that great for retail. But really, behind all of this economic yuck, this mess that we're going through, there is a revolution happening in retail, the likes of which we haven't seen for 50 years or so. And my concern with many of the retailers I'm speaking about is that they're reacting as they need to be pragmatic to the everyday economic issue, but they're not really understanding the fundamental shift in retail, so that when we get out of this economic condition, whenever that is, retail will be something that we've not seen before, and many of them aren't going to be ready for it.
Okay, we'll take a look at where it will go in just a second. Let me just remind the listener to the phone lines are open if you want to join in our chat this morning. 1-300-221-001 is the talkback number, 1-300-221-001. If you have any questions about retail now, just how it may look in the future, you can have a chat to futurologist Maurice Mislowski, 1-300-221-001. So, Maurice, they've been sort of caught on the back foot a bit, haven't they? They don't really know how to respond.
I think so, and that's because we've seen such fundamental shift, and the fundamental shift has really been about the evolution of the digital world. It's been the mobile phones, it's been people access to information they've never had before, that's the average consumer, that now he or she, us, can jump online and find things, whatever we want to buy from around the world. We can compare prices, we can get shipping into Australia. Lots of opportunities we've not seen before, and many of us, of course, are bedazzled by it. We love it, and we're looking for that kind of opportunity.
So how should ordinary shops, bricks and mortar stores, be responding to this?
I think that they need to see it as not the enemy, but as a very, very good friend, a close cousin. When you look at what's happening in the States, we've kind of gotten beyond the yuckiness, the horribleness of this new thing is around and it's going to take over the world, to understanding that if we're clever, if we use this part of our retail tools, we can actually make it work for us. So you've got stores in the States like Walmart, like Macy's, like most of the big brands who have said, okay, if we can't beat them, we're going to join them. So we'll have an online store or we'll have an online presence, but we're going to push people back into our store to pick it up. We're going to give people incentives to come into our bricks and mortar as well as shop online. When they're in store, we're going to make sure that they're not going out to do their price comparisons or to ask their friends about what's happening online. We're going to give them all the tools and the access to be able to look in our store for other things that they might want. And what we hope to do by that is to capture them. If they've got the information and the price, show it to our reps, tell us what you're looking at, and let's see if we can match it. Or more importantly, we'll prove to you why our better service, by the fact you're standing in our store, is a much better buy than going offline to some stranger.
Are there other gimmicks they're trying?
There are lots of them. What we're finding is technology is doing things like tracking our shoppers in store, so we're becoming more sophisticated about knowing what it is shoppers are looking for and when they're looking for it. There was an app that I saw released last week that actually, with permission of course, tracks mobile phone usage within a store, so you actually know what apps consumers are using and what they're using it for. But we're also beginning to see the home come into our shopping experience. So, for instance, our shopping lists are things we take with us now on our mobile phone. But even more than that, we're able actually to go into our digital cupboards, or we will be able to go into our digital cupboards not too soon, and see how many cans of spaghetti we have, or how much cheese is left in the fridge, or whether the milk's about to run out. All of those things will be available to us. Again, we've chosen to have this, or we can choose not to. It's always a choice.
But digital cupboard, I love the sound of that. How does that work? How would that work?
So what we have at the moment, there are lots of technologies that are riding around on how this might work, and there's no great winner. At the moment, the easiest way to make it work is for us to scan in, because every piece of item that we buy has a barcode on it. So we can scan in what we've bought. And with some of these new things I'm seeing, the shelves are literally weighing the bottles, weighing the cans. And what they're weighing it for, of course, is when it's replaced, it can tell you how much is missing. So it gives you a use-by date, so to speak, of when you might run out of it. So these things are either being done by barcode, we'll see that NFC, which is near field communication, that'll come in about the next 6 to 12 months, which is simply a little network. And I know this sounds really technical, but it's not. There'll be a little network set up around your home that you've established, and everything that moves around that home, you'll be able to itemize and see where it is. Again, you're going to choose to have this or not. So that'll be out on our mobile phone. We'll be able to see that through our mobile phone into our supermarkets, but also into our clothing retailers. So you'll be able to try on virtual clothes with clothes that you have at home. So if you've got that pair of red shoes or those pants or that skirt in your closet, you'll be able to bring it in a virtual sense, in other words, a picture of it, and it'll come up on your screen, and you'll be able to overlay that with the thing that you want to buy in store physically to see whether they match.
Wow, a virtual dressing room?
Absolutely.
My goodness. Okay, this is a futurologist talkback on ABC One. You're welcome to join us. If you have any questions for futurologist Maurice Maslowski about the future of shopping, how will it look? How will you get involved? 1-300-221-001, the talkback number. 1-300-221-001. Futurologist talkback on ABC One. I understand there's in-store magic mirrors planned as well. What on earth does that involve?
So a magic mirror is, for all intents and purposes, a normal mirror. It's a full-length mirror. But what it does, in fact, is it's not a mirror. It's actually a camera that's showing you. And instead of having to try on clothes, you pick up the clothes. So you might pick up the garment. So think about our games that we have now. When we pick up a particular thing, it knows where we are and where it's moving. That's how that works on the same basis. And it actually puts it on your virtual body. So you're not physically trying on the garment, but in the mirror, you see you wearing that dress or that pair of pants. And what happens there is that the size that you've chosen, so if you've chosen a larger size or a smaller size to you, it'll actually show it to be baggy or short or long or whatever it is. So you're actually seeing it as it would be if you tried it on physically. And that's called a magic mirror. You can buy those out of the box already. They're about $80,000, $100,000 buys. Haven't seen many of them in Australia yet. There are a few riding around Europe, America. Japan's had them for about 5 years or so. So expect to see it as part of the mix. But I want to go back just to the point of retail. We'll never lose the hands-on. We've talked a lot about technology, and I don't for a moment want our listeners to think that we're going to lose retail shops as we have them. Because retail, for us, is very much a sport. And by that, I mean, people like to go out and shop. It's something to do. And we like the community aspects of getting together with people. We like to touch and to feel. So physical will never, ever disappear. But what we're going to see are new toys that will allow us to go into that physical environment and engage or use it or experience it in different ways.
So really, it won't just be online shopping and ordinary bricks and mortar shopping. The two will kind of merge much more in the future. Is that where you see it?
Yeah, it'll be seamless, and we're really starting to see it. One of our larger retailers has already, on all their advertising, they have the bottom, if you notice, at one of the larger supermarkets, has on it already, online, in-store and mobile, as the three ways that you can shop. And if you look into where most of our trends are coming from, if you look into the States and Europe for retailer advertising, they advertise all three as well. So it's quite common. What they're saying to you is, we may not be 24/7 hours open physically, but 24/7 somehow you can engage with us, and it might be online or through your mobile, or when we are open, come in and enjoy that as well.
Anything else we should watch out for?
I think that what we're going to see really is the change of what we buy and how we buy. We're going to be able to source across the globe, so we'll be buying things from all over the planet. We'll be expecting them to come to us through all sorts of devices. We're going to see also a lot of bespoke stuff coming back, which is things made specifically for us. Because what this technology does is it allows us, for instance, when we try on through a magic mirror, to try that pair of pants and for it to be made exactly to fit us. And that's pretty much where we were before mass merchandising, before the 50s and 60s.
Yeah.
We'd go into a tailor or a dressmaker, we'd pick a piece of material, and he or she would make it for us. We're going to go back to those days, I think, in some way, over the next 5 to 10 years, where things are made bespoke to our order.
Absolutely fascinating. Right, that's the future, according to futurologist Maurice Maslowski. And, of course, your website is businessfuturist.com, and you also have a Facebook page as well, Maurice?
We do, and it's Business Futurist as well, so Business Futurist in either of them.
Excellent. Always great to catching up. We'll catch you again in a couple of weeks.
Look forward to it.
Thanks now, Maurice Maslowski on ABC One Bay, our futurologist from businessfuturist.com.